Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
A Friday Three Martini Lunch, one good news for conservatives, one potentially not so good, and the third very special today. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And Jim, the good news for conservatives is that not only have the Democrats clearly not still learned their lesson from the midterms, since the agenda had nothing to do with it, Nancy Pelosi had nothing to do with it, but at least some Democrats realize that maybe she did. And so the chorus of Democrats in the House who kind of wish, both privately and publicly, that she would not run for party leader again seems to be growing, but nobody's running against her. And then at the same time, since they have fewer leadership spots, we've got this delicious fight between Jim Clyburn and Steny Hoyer, both of whom claim they have enough votes to win, which may tell you why Chris Van Hollen thought the Democrats would keep the House, because clearly vote counting apparently not the strong suit among the Democratic leadership.
You know, Greg, I had noted earlier this morning, if I were a Democrat, and I'm not, what would worry me more, even more than the idea of Nancy Pelosi being House Minority Leader, is that as far as we can tell, there are really no serious, credible options instead of Nancy Pelosi. You really haven't seen any groundswell to get behind anybody else. I know Heath Shuler is jumping in, but I got, you know, unless you're a Redskins fan, Greg, you and I would be fairly pleased with Heath Shuler as a Democratic Party leader. I mean, you know, he's pro-gun, pro-life. I mean, as far as Democrats go, this is a pretty conservative guy. There are probably three or four conservative Democrats left in the House, maybe, you know, depending on some recounts. So, you know, Heath Shuler has no base of support to credibly challenge Nancy Pelosi. And I don't think there's any, you know, there's not even a semi-liberal voice who's willing to step in and say, okay, Pelosi has had her chance. It's time for, you know, for some new blood in there.
Yeah, and exactly. As you mentioned before about the Redskins analogy, Heath Shuler might be able to win in North Carolina and at Tennessee, but winning in Washington is not something he does a lot of the time.
Precisely. That is the joke that I should have thought of a moment ago, Greg. And you hit on it, that just that there's not a – he represents a very small fraction of the Democrats, and we could arguably argue that, you know, due to political climate change, the species blue dog has gone extinct. It'll be interesting to see this, and there's a part of me that, as a right-of-center guy, likes seeing a little bit of life left in the idea of a conservative Democrat, but, you know, nothing serious is going to come of this. And as you said about the idea of the battle for whip between Hoyer and Clyburn, I thought they were going to contest that race, Greg. It doesn't sound like it's much of a contest. At least, you know, Hoyer keeps naming the people supporting him, and Clyburn doesn't. So what does that tell you? You know, maybe it's voices in his head or imaginary members of Congress or somebody else. But from what I can tell, it looks like Hoyer's running away with this, which is, you know, I guess Hoyer's, you know, probably one step to the right of Clyburn, but I don't really think you'll see a significant. This is more about personality and personal loyalties, I think, than any ideological sense between these two men.
Yeah, nothing's going to excite the base more than status quo after the 2010 midterm elections.
Yeah. Why stop with what's worked, Greg? Right? Where would they be without this particular leadership team?
That's true. Nancy Pelosi had a party this week celebrating all their successes from the past 2 years. So apparently the delusion goes on. But let's move on to Martini number two. And thankfully, it appears that the movie starring Denzel Washington trying to stop a runaway train with nuclear materials or something on board is likely to dominate the box office. But the one the liberals are all excited about is Fair Game.
My name is everywhere, my real name.
Those in the highest office sought to destroy the career of a covert agent to punish me for telling the truth.
So obviously this is about Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson, and obviously this story is a number of years old. But the liberals are drooling over this. Chris Matthews says it's a fantastic film. Most of the critics think it stinks, so that's probably good for the number of people who will actually be exposed to this. But it's just a little bit troubling to me that more and more people are probably going to be bamboozled about what really happened with this story.
It says something that Hollywood chooses to make a heroic tale of a CIA agent. And it's not, you know, it's not killing terrorists, not chasing the Taliban, not doing anything like that. No. It's taking on the Bush administration. That's what's really heroic. The good news is, Greg, Sean Penn is involved, so we know it'll give the conservatives a fair shake. It'll be even-handed and fair. And it's interesting because my understanding, you know, as we all know, this went to the Deputy Secretary of State, Powell's right-hand man.
Right.
Was the source to Bob Novak. My understanding is that Novak does not appear in the movie. So I'm curious about, you know, whether this is mostly about what happens after her name is in Novak's column. And it just probably sounds like a lot of grandstanding by Joe Wilson. At least that's all that I remember, Greg. So there's a part of me that feels like this is potentially, in a long, proud history of boring movies about Washington, maybe amongst the most boring, unless they completely fictionalize it and Dick Cheney has a ninja squad that he sends after Valerie Plame or something like that. But it sounds like there's been something kind of fascinating about the Plames or Wilsons or whatever, I guess, however they're referred to, in that they played the victim card, and this was back in 04, 05?
Yeah, right back then, 03, 04, right around in there.
And it's still going on. I mean, it's very, you know, it's very unfortunate. This woman had her career cut short. I think there was a great deal of demonization of Karl Rove and folks. As I said, it was I believe Richard Armitage was the figure who leaked it. No one on the left seemed all that interested in going after Armitage because he's, you know, he's a Colin Powell guy. He's one of their guys.
Right.
Nobody seemed, you know, once it went back to a source that was considered okay on their side, they lost interest in prosecution of all that. And so now we're getting what just feels like the stalest and least relevant movie of any time. But my guess is once they all committed to doing it, they had to do it. You know, they couldn't if they had canceled the movie, that would have been a complete capitulation of the fact that something that was going to be a huge scandal that was going to take down the Bush administration ended up being, you know, in the end for you know, even though being generating a lot of headlines at the time, a great big nothing burger in terms of grander national security consequence.
Yeah, even though all of that is absolutely true, I'd be curious to see if a poll was taken. How many Americans know who actually gave Valerie Plame's name to Robert Novak? And ask them the question, which is obviously a trick question, who was charged with leaking her name? Because absolutely no one was. So the question still remains whether that was even illegal and what her status actually was. But the point is, don't watch the movie.
Well, I'm going to say, I'd be curious about how it ends, because considering how the story just kind of fizzles out, no one's prosecuted. I mean, one, do they go completely fictionally and you end up having Karl Rove actually being arrested in this? Or do they realize that they have an absolutely nothing of a story and they all suddenly go to Pennsylvania or West Virginia, wherever it is, and help Denzel Washington stop the runaway train? Because that's the only way you're going to make a more interesting movie than this, you know, it was a grand scandal.
Yeah.
And then the country stopped paying attention.
Yeah, I think the final scene should be them waiting by a non-ringing phone, waiting to get back on MSNBC. That's about all they can hope
Larry
for.
Larry King said he was going to have us on one more time. Darn it.
Exactly.
This is an outrage.
All right, on to martini number three now. And the sad news is that Jim Garrity will not be with us next week. The good news, though, is that Jim will be on the National Review cruise, sailing, I believe, through the Caribbean. And the good news is that all indications point to Jim not coming back with a reaction like this guy named Marquise, who was on the Carnival Splendor.
We were literally like trapped, and like it was like we were marooned in the middle of the ocean, and the food was, it was minimal. It was very minimal. It was like we had no control at all over anything, and it felt like we were imprisoned.
Any trepidation getting on board this weekend, Jim?
No, we have a much finer cruise line, the Holland America folks. Yeah, there's a part of me that feels like, look, you're on a boat stuck in the ocean. It's going to get rough. So just, you know, suck it up and be ready for the food to be lousy. They can't restock supplies. They had no power. They had no ability to move the boat. All the food was spoiling. Just recognize that you're not going to have the vacation you expected. I have much higher hopes for the National Review cruise, which I look forward to and am enjoying. It says something that my way of getting away from work is to go on a cruise for work. and to, you know, I periodically will get envious messages from readers, and I recognize I'm a very lucky man to be able to go on this and spend some time with, my understanding is a couple hundred readers, quite a big turnout for this one. I would note, though, that this really is not necessarily this is by no means a straight up vacation. Greg, I would picture this as picture the Radio America Christmas party going on for 7 days on a boat throughout the Caribbean. You know, perspective of how you can have a good time, you just can't have that good a time. You know, it'd be really bad to get really hammered and
exactly
make a mess on somebody's shoes or get seasick or you know, hit on somebody's wife or any of the things you might do if you celebrate to excess. So it will be a good time we'll had by all, but not quite a tale of bacchanalian excess. At least I hope not. We'll see what happens when John Derbyshire starts singing or something.
Exactly right. So we'll check in with Jim a week from Monday, but the Three Martini Lunch does go on next week with a couple of very capable guests filling in for Jim. Have a great time on the cruise, and we'll talk to you in a little over a week.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.